from DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
I will give a full thank you later on for your patience with me on Friday, not being here for a Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza. Great time I had, and I hope you enjoyed your, I guess, extra weekend. I don't know if it counts as an extra weekend for you. I guess it was a slightly longer weekend for me. We're glad you're with us on the program today. We got a lot of stuff we're going to get to. I want to start with something sort of fun and lighthearted. And, you know, during this time of year, we really have the freedom to be able to do that, right? You know, a lot of the news that we get to is probably not the most pressing, sort of earth-shattering news. But there were a couple of things I sort of caught wind of over the weekend that, you know, kind of put a smile on my face. I have said before, I don't know why I always feel the need to repeat this, but it's, you know, worth, I guess, noting for some context here that I am not the world's biggest NFL fan. There are plenty of things that happen on the NFL circuit that sort of go in one ear out the other. I may not even notice them. I'm not living and dying with the Sunday version of the sport the same way I am with the Saturday version of the sport. Many of you are the same way. And that is sort of context for the fact that I don't pick up on every NFL storyline that comes out, but I did notice there were some NFL rookie mini camps here over the last couple of days. And the way those work is, this is before you sign your contract, at least for many of the first round picks before they sign their contract. Just a chance to get acclimated with your organization and for them to get acclimated with you. And some of these went down over the course of the past weekend, and there was some praise coming from some former Georgia greats as they sort of make their way into their NFL future. I saw this one reporter talking about what Lorenzo Carter's been doing as a third-round pick for the New York Giants in their rookie minicamp. Let me show you this. Patricia Traina, I hope I'm pronouncing that correct, is the name. Patricia says, Lorenzo Carter gets off the snap so smoothly. Absolutely no wasted motion there. And other reporters, when it comes to Lorenzo Carter, were also talking about, you know, that same kind of thing that, you know, for a guy that was not a pass rush specialist necessarily at Georgia, it seems like his ability to rush the passer, to kind of get off the snap and, you know, get into the backfield was one of the things that kind of got noticed there in the NFL. And I think that, you know, for those of you that watch the NFL more closely than me, you may say that, you know, Floyd and Jenkins have kind of been sort of regarded the same way in the NFL, I think. Two guys that were also asked to do different things at Georgia, but proved their ability to kind of get into the backfield when they got into the NFL. And I think that Lorenzo Carter would seem to be, at least based on the first couple of minutes of his first rookie minicamp, maybe on his way to being able to do that. You'd rather hear good things than bad things, though, even if it is sort of a brief amount of time that you're being evaluated on. It seems like Lorenzo Carter is getting some of that. Not to be outdone, though, is rookie running back for the New England Patriots, Sony Michel, going through his rookie minicamp as well. And ESPN got a quote from Ivan Fears, the running backs coach from the Patriots, who says about Sony Michel, he's a very physical guy for a guy that's very good in the open field. Most of those guys are scat back guys, but he has some stout to him. I like that phrase, stout to him. He's not a little guy. He's broad shoulder. He's a size player that can pound it away and can make things happen in the open space. And that quote right there in particular, I wanted to make a point to bring up on today's show, because this is some of the same kind of stuff we talked about with Sony when he was in a Georgia uniform, that he was sort of treated sometimes like he was, to use the phrase that the running backs coach uses there, a scat back, one of these guys that's more of a slot receiver than a true tailback. But we saw Sony Michel shouldering virtually the full load for the Georgia running game in 2015 after Nick Chubb got injured in that Tennessee game, and Michel had nearly 1,300 yards rushing, most of that coming kind of between the tackles the way that a typical traditional tailback would do. So I'm not surprised to hear a NFL running backs coach saying, whoa, he's more than a scat back. He's more of a, he's more than just a quote open field runner. I'm not really surprised to hear that about Sony Michel at all. In fact, I like what we're hearing from him there. Maybe a chance to do some big things here in his rookie season in the NFL. And it kind of reminds me of something, if you want to go back to draft night, you know, when you got Isaiah Wynn, a first-round pick of the Patriots, and Sony Michel, a first-round pick of the Patriots. You know, they are two Georgia guys joining that team. Later on, the Patriots would also reach out and grab Duke Dawson, a defensive back from Florida. Now, here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, we make a point every day of saying, that a good Georgia fan's a Gator hater, that we think that Georgia's number one rival is supposed to be Florida. We like the idea that Florida thinks of Georgia the same way. At least that's the hope that we have for these two teams going to play each other in Jacksonville every year. There'd be some hatred for each other. But for Duke Dawson, now that he's playing in the New England Patriots and you see the things that Sony Michel's capable of doing and you see the things that Isaiah Wynn's capable of doing, Maybe Duke Dawson's ready to sort of at least put that rivalry to bed for 51 out of the 52 weeks of the year. I thought this was some pretty funny audio from Duke Dawson.
Those two guys, I mean, great, great players. I've been looking at Sony since he was in middle school. Sony's been playing on varsity since eighth grade, so I kind of had a feel who Sony was coming up. Isaiah, when I actually don't really know him, I didn't know him at the time, but now I know who he is. But I'm most definitely going to reach out to those guys and stay in contact with them. I mean, we're teammates now. There's no more rivalries. I mean, until that week comes, I mean, there's going to be a lot of funny bets going on.
Yeah, listen, there's not a lot of quotes from former Florida players that I'm going to like. I do kind of like that one, that Isaiah Wynn, Sony Michel. It's almost like Duke Dawson is kind of waving a little bit of a truce flag. Hey, we're teammates now. The rivalry is put to bed, and maybe it's a little easier to put that one to bed when it was 42-7 a year ago. And as I said off the top of the show, none of this is all that serious. This isn't too much earth-shattering news. But when you see these guys getting their career started with promises of maybe good rookie seasons, it reminds us of something that the NFL.com reporter Chase Goodbread said on our program a few weeks ago, and going back to the week of the NFL draft, that all this influx of talent from Georgia in the NFL, it's good news for the players themselves who have a chance to make a lot of money, but it also reverberates for the future of Georgia football here as well, as more recruits pay attention to the success these Georgia guys could have. Here is how Chase Goodbread explained that a couple of weeks ago.
Today is as big a day for recruiting as the year in terms of being able to generate interest and respect from recruits. And the more of those type of guys you have, the easier it is to get more.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that is a language that makes sense to all of us here. Even if you don't follow the NFL that closely, you love seeing Lorenzo Carter's name pop up with good news. You love seeing Sony Michel's name pop up with good news because there are next generation versions of those players. Elite outside linebackers, terrific running backs, and every other position under the sun. And the more that Georgia's putting those guys in the league on Sundays, the more it helps Georgia get the next generation of that guy for its own program here. And you know, beyond that, besides that, you know, we had a chance to get to know some of these guys as we headed towards Dog Nation Appreciation. Sony Michel was there with us that night. It was a pleasure to get to know him and a pleasure to hear him tell a lot of his stories. We've all been watching these guys for the last 4 years. More than anything else, I'm just happy to see these guys so far early on fitting in with their new NFL home, and I cannot wait to see what they do in the NFL on Sundays this fall. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We are presented by Marco's Pizza, and glad you're with us, whether you watch us on video, 10 a.m. on the Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter page. You can check us out video a lot of places live. You can listen to us on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and check us out in podcast form. Pretty much wherever podcasts are found, Apple Podcasts, Android devices, the world-famous DogNation.com. What am I leaving out? SoundCloud, you know, just wherever you get for podcasts. Hopefully you'll be able to find Dog Nation Daily. And Marco's Pizza is the reason we're able to bring all of this to you every single day. And, of course, speaking of Marco's Pizza, they want to remind you to say hello to authentic Italian-quality pizza from Marco's with dough made fresh in-store every day the Italian way. Order today from Marco's.com. That's more Marco's Pizza again this weekend. Boy, my family really loves it, and that is no exaggeration. It always puts smiles on our faces around my household every single week. As I mentioned before, thank you so much for your patience. No Friday show for us. We do not take shows off lightly. That is not something that we do a whole lot of, but we certainly appreciated you allowing us to be gone on Friday. I was able to spend some time with my son at his school. We had a great time on that. And many of you were very kind to sort of give us a social media message on that, letting us know that you were glad that we were able to do that on Friday. It was a lot of fun. And so thanks for kind of reaching out on that regard. I will also remind you that tonight on the Dog Nation video channel that you're watching this on, you can also check out Before the Hedges. Our buddy Hannah Chalker, along with Jeff Sintel, they'll be doing some UGA recruiting talk tonight. What time is that? 7 p.m. 7 p.m. tonight, you can check out Before the Hedges with some recruiting talk coming up here on the Dog Nation video channel tonight. I know you will check that out. We've got Chip Towers here coming up in a couple of moments. We'll look forward to catching up with Chip on a number of subjects. One of the things that we're going to get into with Chip is what I think is also potentially pretty good news here for Georgia. 24/7 Sports has reported within the last few days that D'Angelo Gibbs, the Georgia defensive back who had been away from classes during the spring, did not participate in Georgia spring practice, is now back in classes again and is expected to be on his way back to the Georgia football program here as well to be a practicing player this summer and a contributing player here this fall. In fact, Gibbs himself gave something of a cryptic message about this on Twitter recently, saying it's time 100%. And while I won't, you know, pretend to fully know what that means, I would seem to think that means good news for a player in Gibbs who has a load of talent and had some issues, you know, a lot of it rumor and innuendo, but nonetheless had some issues that he dealt with last fall, some of it physical, maybe some of it more than just physical. But whatever it was, maybe it's behind him now, and much like Trent Thompson did a year ago, maybe D'Angelo Gibbs ready to get back in class, get back in the swing of being a college student here and pretty soon a college football player again for the Georgia Bulldogs. I think all that's good news for Georgia if it can come to pass, and I think that Kirby Smart should get some credit for this in terms of the way that he's worked with not just D'Angelo Gibbs, but kind of another player in the same situation or a similar situation in linebacker Nate Traspatrick, another guy that spent some time away from the Georgia program but is working back to being a contributing player for the Dogs this fall. In fact, not too long ago, Kirby Smart talked about what the program was trying to do for both Patrick and Gibbs in terms of helping them out, not just helping them be football players, but helping them grow as young men. Here is Kirby Smart on that.
Yeah, I think both those kids are working really hard, doing the things we've asked them to do. And be honest with you, we're trying to help them as much off the field as on the field right now.
And so that's obviously the best wishes that I think we can all express on that, that they do get the help they need off the field to be where they need to be, both in terms of physical recovery in D'Angelo Gibbs' case and maybe anything else that's sort of non-physical here, that gets taken care of as well. I mean, we're obviously a football show, so we have football-centric opinions when it comes to a lot of this kind of stuff. And listen, it goes without saying that Georgia needs D'Angelo Gibbs for two reasons. Defensive back is a bit of a vulnerable position, I think, for this Georgia defense. It needs all hands on deck there. But the other part of this is D'Angelo Gibbs is just among the more highly recruited players on the Georgia roster, and you want as many of those guys to sort of pay dividends and kind of see their full potential come to fruition as possible. That's how you win championships, by having as many of your, you know, five-star, and in D'Angelo Gibbs' case, maybe very, very high four-star. You need as many of those guys to pan out as you possibly can, and I think that the story is far from written when it comes to D'Angelo Gibbs. I still think he has a chance to be a tremendous player for Georgia, and it would seem, and I guess there has been some talk about, much like Thompson a year ago, maybe there's a little bit of weight loss here, maybe there's some of that that Gibbs has dealt with here, but you know, if his, you know, physical condition's where it needs to be, if his weight is where he needs to be, where it needs to be, you know, a little heavier than the 200 pounds, if he's able to get back to that spot and get back to that, you know, to that weight again, I think in like a star position, I think as a, you know, a fifth defensive back, I think that D'Angelo Gibbs could potentially have real big value here to the University of Georgia. And, you know, speaking in keeping with the theme of, you know, how the program is trying to help Gibbs and how the program is trying to support him, both, you know, physically, spiritually, emotionally, everything else, you know, this is actually something that D'Angelo Gibbs himself foreshadowed a long time ago. I was lucky enough to be able to interview D'Angelo going back two Januaries ago, right at the very week that he enrolled at the University of Georgia. He was being honored at the Touchdown Club of Atlanta Awards Banquet. We had a chance to sit down, talk with him near that day about getting acclimated to college life. And one of the things that he explained to us at the time was that the support system at Georgia from other players and coaches that just contributed to a mindset that made success more possible than not. I love this from Gibbs, especially in light of what he's been dealing with here as of late. Here is D'Angelo Gibbs in his own words.
I'm blessed to be in the situation that I am. And, you know, Kirby and all the coaches and the coaching staff, they are all on the same board, all on the same page. And, you know, we all getting the players on the same page, even the newcoming freshmen. And, you know, we all feel like a family. It's a brotherhood. It's more so like, you know, we all got each other's back. So at the end of the day, nobody's quits on anything. Nobody gives up on anything. And we just all push each other to greatness.
I mean, don't you love that? And that's a very easy thing to say at the beginning of a college career when you can't imagine hard times. I mean, let's face it. If you're an elite recruit like D'Angelo Gibbs was, you think that you're going to step on to a college field and just dominate the same way you've dominated all high school fields. That's not a criticism of Gibbs. I would imagine that every single player in Gibbs' situation has had pretty much the same mindset. You know, college can be shockingly tough because there are D'Angelo Gibbs all over the field, whereas, you know, many of the high school fields that he's played on, even on a good program like Grayson, he was one of the, you know, the better athletes. He's facing equal competition during practice every day at Georgia, and that can be shocking. But that support system that Gibbs described there would seem to be paying off, the way that the brotherhood, the family, all those words that Gibbs uses. I don't think those are hollow phrases. I think those are things that Georgia does have in place. I think that D'Angelo Gibbs seems to be using them, which is certainly good news. Before I bring on Chip Towers, let me squeeze in two more points here. First of all, when David Johnson was with us on Friday, or I should say on Thursday, our last show from last week, he made a pretty good point that, you know, George was traveling to Florida over the weekend to take on the number one team in the country. And obviously I'm greedy and I'm a Gator hater, so I was wanting to see Georgia go in there and sweep that series or at least take two of three. And David reminded us that, hey, on the road against a good team, that's tough in the SEC. Georgia had a chance to win Friday and lost in the bottom half of the ninth, but did come back and get a win on Sunday. That's not a meaningless win for Georgia here, because as David described, if Georgia can take two of three from Arkansas this weekend and it's home series finale, maybe a chance to host an NCAA regional at stake here if Georgia can play well against Arkansas this weekend. So pay attention to that. And speaking of hosting NCAA regionals, congratulations to the Georgia softball team, which earned the right to do that itself. It's got an NCAA regional coming up in Athens here pretty soon. So nice to see the Georgia softball team doing well. And we look forward to seeing, hopefully, the Georgia baseball team closing out the regular season in style at Foley Field against Arkansas this upcoming weekend. So a lot going on there. We're glad you're with us here, Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. Let's do more Georgia talk now as we bring on our buddy Chip Towers.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Love having Chip Towers on a Monday here on a Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza. There's always a lot going on, and Chip's perspective on all this is incredibly valuable. And, Chip, let me say good morning to you. First of all, thanks for your time here today. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, I'm fine. We know it's Monday when Brandon and Chip are talking, and I'm always glad to talk to you.
That's right. As Tim Russert used to say, if it's Sunday, it's Meet the Press. I guess if it's Monday, it's Chip Towers on Dog Nation Daily, right?
That's right. That's why everybody's tuning in. Come on, be honest about it.
No doubt about that. No doubt about that. All right, let's talk about one of the things that you did write about last week, and that is, I guess, the expected return of D'Angelo Gibbs here. I believe it was 24/7. If I have that correct, they reported first that he's back in classes again, and he has his own tweet about being 100% and kind of being ready to go here. And for me, Chip, this is an important player for Georgia. Obviously, if he's fully healthy and sort of emotionally, spiritually, mentally ready to go, this is a player that Georgia could really use in its secondary, right?
Yeah, that's a very good way to put it. Emotionally, spiritually, et cetera, because all of them certainly factor in here. Based on what we know about D'Angelo Gibbs, which has been such a really, blurry, murky sort of situation ever since, he kind of disappeared from view, and that would be going back to, I believe it was after the seventh or eighth game last year, Florida, D'Angelo Gibbs traveled. We didn't see him again after that, and which was not that surprising in the context of the season, because after the first game, his playing time had continuously dwindled. But certainly a stark contrast to what we first saw about D'Angelo Gibbs when he signed with Georgia as an early enrollee and actually at one point was working with the number one defense in his first spring in Athens. And so we know, a couple of things. There's an injury in the middle of all this, of which he's now 100% recovered. And that's what we based that tweet and Instagram post and everything else being, 100%. My understanding is he's been, released from rehab, which means he can do everything that all the other football players on Georgia's roster are doing. But more importantly, he's in school. And he was not in school in spring, so he couldn't participate in any of the spring practice. And now I don't know what all that entails. There are minimum academic requirements, hours that you have to pass to maintain your NCAA eligibility. I'm sure Georgia and D'Angelo Gibbs are all over on top of that. So provided that all that is taken care of, his shoulder and, his academic eligibility, D'Angelo Gibbs should figure in the mix, and that's a very important mix for Georgia this fall. As we all know, Brandon, the secondary is undergoing a fairly major retread, a remix, and I think D'Angelo Gibbs, both as a star and as a safety, can figure into that mix quite prominently. I thought Georgia's secondary at the end of the day really responded well. I think that the one thing that you can definitely kind of hang your hat on with the G-Day game was, the red team was the first offense. They were throwing the ball a lot. The black team was the first defense, and that secondary came away with some picks and did a pretty good job of defending the deep ball. So based on that, they look pretty good, but they need a guy like D'Angelo Gibbs, and and D'Angelo Gibbs needs to come through for himself.
Let me follow up on this. I'm going to try to streamline this into a sensible question because it's going to have a lot of parts to it. But would you compare D'Angelo's potential return for Georgia this year to Trent Thompson a year ago? Is it easier or harder defensive back compared to defensive line? And then along those same lines with Trent Thompson, you were as close to that situation as anyone a year ago. It feels in some way similar to the D'Angelo Gibbs situation. When he returned after having been gone from spring practice and classes, much like Gibbs, did he fully acclimate himself back to the team? Because, you know, he leaves school after his junior year, then doesn't get drafted. You know, when he returned, was he fully back? Was he, you know?
Yeah. No, I see what you're saying. And you know, that it's a great comparison on a couple of different levels. You know, both that, you know, Trent Thompson, you know, had the academic situation to overcome, but he also had quite a physical situation to overcome. I mean, you know, we're finding out retrospectively that Trent Thompson was really one beat-up dude. Both shoulders, both knees, and a hamstring that all of which, you know, he was dealing with the entire season. And obviously that bled into his, you know, NFL draft preparation and ultimately into his draft status. But, yes, you know, getting Trent Thompson back last season was a big deal. Now, I think anybody who watched would say that he didn't play at the level that he did as a sophomore. You know, when he was the MVP of the Liberty Bowl or Gator Bowl, whatever it was, you know, obviously played great in that game and that in that second half of that season. We never really saw that Trent Thompson again, but that's where the comparisons at the end. The thing about D'Angelo Gibbs, we just don't know yet, Brandon. I mean, that's one of those things. I don't think Kirby and Mel Tucker and all those guys who were paid to know have a completely strong opinion as to how good of a player D'Angelo Gibbs is. I mean, they have an opinion, but it's not an informed opinion at this point. That's where he's got to get back on the field and prove that he's better. Because, I mean, look, Georgia has 17 defensive backs right now. They've continued to recruit hard at that position, and it's competition at the highest level to get the best five or six out there on the field. You know, you're going to play about eight during the context of the season. And so D'Angelo Gibbs now has to prove he's one of those top eight, that he's worthy of being in the rotation. Now, based on his reputation as a five-star athlete and everything else, you think he should be. But that is part and parcel, I believe, of what his issue was last year. Is, you know, he's always been a major player everywhere he's been, you know, Grayson and the years before that. And he found himself not in the mix, and in attitude, you know, this is not based on any fact, but just what you hear, attitude was part of his situation, of taking coaching well and realizing that you haven't earned a spot on the field and accepting that and doing what it takes to get over it. And that's where D'Angelo Gibbs has got to distinguish himself now.
Well said. You wrote about Elijah Holyfield this week. Holyfield, I would imagine, is one of the players you get more questions about than anybody else. I think this is true for three reasons. He was a pretty highly rated recruit from Atlanta. He's got a famous last name, and he sort of looks like a professional wrestler. That's the kind of thing that is going to generate a lot of interest among a lot of fans. And there's always been this concern, Chip, as you know, that he was going to be the odd man out in this Georgia running back corps, both last year, maybe even this year, with the freshmen that are coming in. And the thing I keep saying over and over again, and I'm assuming you're going to agree with me on this, is – it is way too early to tell that. This notion of how this pecking order is going to go for Georgia. My assumption is, and I think this is along the lines of what you wrote, is that Holyfield is still going to be heard from in a very big way, or at least likely to be heard from in a very big way in this Georgia running back corps this season. A, we know Del McGee likes to get at least three running backs involved, and the play calling likes to get at least three running backs involved. And as long as there's three involved, a healthy Elijah Holyfield, I think, stands a really good chance of being one of those three. It sounds like you kind of agree with that, right?
No, I definitely do. And no, I think Elijah Holyfield's going to be a guy that you hear from in some shape or form as a tailback / running back this year. And I think definitely early in the year, because there's a couple of things that are very important about Elijah Holyfield. Number one is he knows what he's doing now, you know, and that's not a small thing. I mean, I there's no question that Zamir White and James Cook, the two signees that Georgia are bringing in, are exceptional athletes, and there's a lot of things you can do at the running back position, but it does take a while. What Georgia does offensively to master what your job is over and beyond just, you know, taking a toss, sweep right or left. I mean, they just do so much more nowadays in pass protection and catching the ball out of the backfield. All that is part of the position now. I think Elijah Holyfield and Brian Herrien, to the same extent, are just so much more ready early in the season to get on the field. The other thing about Elijah that I think is very, very important, I mean, not only is he physical and runs well, you know, between the tackles, which is you got to have, and not that DeAndre Swift can. I think he proved that he can do that, but that's what he's got to prove on a daily basis. He's got to do better. But think about Elijah Holyfield's ability to stay healthy. You know, he's a very, very physical player, but he stays on the field. That's not a small thing. Just staying healthy, it's hard to stay healthy playing that position. Elijah Holyfield this past spring, I'm sure, had more reps than any other back on Georgia's roster, you know, both as a ball carrier and catching the ball out of the backfield. That's taken a lot of punishment, yet he stands up to it. And we've all seen, you know, he's got a little bit better speed, a little bit more shimmy at the line of scrimmage than you probably think. And that's not a small thing. I mean, I think this is a guy who is going to be there, not just at the beginning of the season, but I think all year, provided that he can continue to stay healthy.
So we obviously all were kind of reacting last week to the Steve Rosenblum column from the Chicago Tribune about Roquan Smith being a victim of theft in Athens, but somehow shouldering the blame for that in Chicago. And Chip, you're a longtime journalist, and what I thought was really interesting about the response to this column from Rosenblum was, you know, there was the immediate response from fans who don't like seeing one of their own guys being kicked around by a big city newspaper guy, but also, you know, the response from journalists such as yourself pretty quick. I don't know if it was you and, you know, personally, but a lot of your colleagues, you know, quickly responding to the fact that maybe this guy didn't have quite all his facts straight, you know, on some of the things that he was criticizing Roquan for, including the BMW that he's in possession of here. It's not often that you have fans and media sort of aligned on the same viewpoint, but Steve Rosenblum sort of miraculously did that last week, did he not?
Yeah, he did. You know, you're always going to have favoritism among fan base, right? And Georgia's is strong and powerful right now. I mean, it's a big fan base, and it's a passionate fan base, as we all saw during the 2017 season. And you know, so it's always been a passionate fan base, as most SEC fan bases are. But with Roquan, I mean, my goodness, you know, my responses to Steve Rosenblum were private, and you know, a lot of people jumped on social media and jumped on the guy. And look, I think it says a lot about that professional's standards and ethics that he issued, you know, what I thought was a very sincere apology, because he did, you know, he weighed in on something. You know, he wrote it in the blog format, which is a little different in the weird digital world we live in. You know, blogs are kind of, they're quick turns. They're, hey, this is my opinion. It's kind of like I'm sitting on a bar stool having a beer with all my readers and, hey, you know, here's what I think, and you just throw it out there. He immediately regretted that, because all of us who know Roquan and all these people in the Bulldog Nation obviously know him better than anybody. And for me personally, it goes back to that agricultural field in Montezuma, where, you know, he's working in the summer digging water wells for crops. You know, that's what the Roquan Smith that we know. And shoot, you know, how you could paint him as irresponsible out of that, other than, yeah, they, you know, maybe his car should have been locked, but my goodness gracious, you know, Roquan Smith is going to, I think we all know, is going to distinguish himself once he gets on the field up there, on the field and in with every other way that he carries himself. Yeah, it was kind of a crazy thing, but let's just say that that Rosenblum today knows much more about Roquan Smith in the Bulldog Nation than he did going into that little blog.
I think that's probably true. You gave us a great tidbit in your reporting of the day about Kirby Smart's new contract, that he's got some, I guess, access to some private jets here now, some private air travel. And I don't mind telling you, Chip, I'm incredibly jealous of that. You want to talk about, you know, the true sort of, you know, distinguishing characteristic of wealth? It's not just having money, but it's having that access to that private travel, because the airport can be a pain. And more power to Kirby if he's able to get that done, I guess.
Yeah, well, you know, Kirby's always pushed the envelope on the transportation front. You know, he was, you know, obviously jumped into those helicopters right away. And look, I get it. It makes sense. His time is extremely valuable in recruiting. And so I completely understood, you know, his need for getting a helicopter his very first recruiting year. He kind of established that, you know, he's been renting jets through Georgia for professional reasons ever since he's been here. And, I get it. It's such a different world that we live in now in college athletics in general. You got to kind of take away the you know, mission of college athletics as we understood them before. And, you know, for Kirby, he's made it clear time is money. I mean, he said that the whole time since he's gotten there. And, you know, that extends to being able to get away, I'm sure, with this access to transportation. I can understand why he wanted to build that in this country. And, you know, he's in Jimmy Sexton. He has an agent who represents a lot of the SEC coaches and the top coaches in America. And these are the toys they play, the toys and perks that they ask for. And Kirby Smart certainly deserves that based on the peer group that he's running around with nowadays.
Well, my understanding is you've also negotiated some private travel with your contract here at Dog Nation. So more power to you too.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
Chip, thanks.
Yeah, I need to be able to get an Enterprise rental car anywhere I go. that's my demand.
Chip, thanks for your time here on Dog Nation Daily. We always enjoy it, and we will look forward to speaking to you soon.
All right. See you next time.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Yeah, really funny stuff from Chip Towers. I never really thought about this before, but, you know, Kirby really is the transportation coach. And, you know, here at Dog Nation, we don't really do a lot of slideshows the way the other websites, you know, are sort of famous for doing slideshows. We don't really do slideshows. This would actually be a pretty good slideshow. Kirby's sort of transportation through the years, because if you think about it, he does the Ford commercials. You've seen those. But he was also famous for, you know, when he started doing official visits with recruits, they transport them around in, like, the big SUVs. And some of the recruits themselves will take pictures of the SUVs that they use. It looks like a Secret Service type deal, the big black, you know, six, like, third row SUVs, and they transport the players that are coming in for recruiting visits around campus in these, these SUVs. That could be a part of the slideshow. You get the private jet. That could be part of the slideshow. You get the big 747 that the plane took the team out to the Rose Bowl. This is the transportation head coach, which is to say nothing of the helicopter that he flies around in December and January leading up to the national signing days. I actually kind of like the idea on that. Also, one more thing. About Roquan Smith before we close the book on the Steve Rosenbloom issue. I was thinking about this. You know, Rosenbloom criticizes Roquan Smith for maybe being less than a leader and maybe an embarrassing draft pick for the Chicago Bears. You know, if you watch the show on video, one of the things you'll see a lot of, we'll show some footage from Dog Nation Appreciation, which we did back in March. And, you know, on that stage that night, the story that sort of sticks out to me more than anything else was Davin Bellamy and Lorenzo Carter saying that to them, the most irritating thing about Georgia football practice was that Kirby Smart never yelled at Roquan for any reason. That Roquan did everything right at practice every single day. He was always doing things right and never gave Kirby Smart a reason to yell at him. Kirby Smart, a guy who, by the way, if you ever see him on the sidelines, looks like he's ready to yell at anybody for any reason at any moment. But a Roquan Smith was that kind of player. And this is the guy that Steve Rosenbloom is going to find fault with, a guy that Kirby Smart, at least according to a couple of his teammates, throughout an entire season, found very little fault in Roquan Smith. I think we all know how ludicrous that is. I'll also say this, that coming up in a couple of minutes, we'll do our continuation of our brand new segment here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza. We call it our Dog Day Q&A. This time of year to many people thought of as the dog days of summer, but around here we think about dog a little bit different. It's our DAWG Dog Day Q&A. And in honor of the baseball team getting ready to close out its regular season, the softball team hosting an NCAA regional coming up. Our Dog Day Q&A question for today is, you can go ahead and put your comments in the comment section, or you can hit me up on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily. We'll converse on this. It says, do you follow UGA sports other than football? I'm kind of curious about kind of where we land on this. I hear passionately from people on both sides of the subject from time to time. We'll have our latest iteration of that debate coming up here in a couple of minutes. Before that, though, SEC through time. And on Thursday's episode of our program, I kind of talked about what ESPN recently said about Justin Fields and that Fields need to be playing meaningful snaps for Georgia this fall. That was a part of their sort of main takeaways from their way too early top 25 coming off spring practice. And if that's what they said about Georgia, I also want to give you a moment, let you hear some of what they've said about the other SEC teams that are ranked in the preseason top 25 there. For Alabama, the key takeaway involves the offensive line. Now, you could have said the same thing about Alabama you said about Georgia in terms of, you know, how this quarterback competition plays out. Do you find a spot for both Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa? Instead, ESPN focuses more on the issue of the Alabama offensive line, which kind of aggravates me. You know, one of the things I said about the Fields issue when we talked about it on Thursday was, to me, this feels like ESPN sort of gravitating more towards drama, gravitating more towards, you know, the potential for controversy here, because Georgia, to a fan of the program, has a lot more pressing issues than what's going to happen with the quarterback situation. Paying attention to the Alabama offensive line is an example of Alabama getting maybe a little deeper look from ESPN than Georgia got here. Ultimately, I think the Alabama offensive line is probably going to be fine, though. Mississippi State shows up in the ESPN preseason top 25, and their big spring takeaway for the Bulldogs is the emergence of a pretty good backup quarterback, apparently. Keaton Thompson is his name, and I guess he's been turning heads here and doing pretty well. Nick Fitzgerald's obviously a healthy starter and thought to be one of the better quarterbacks in the league, but Thompson getting some interest and getting some praise here. Auburn shows up, and for an Auburn program that is still trying to find its running backs, has injured wide receivers, Kevin Steele going into his third year as defensive coordinator. I guess the thought is, even with a potential first-round draft pick like Jarrett Stidham, that Auburn may be a program led by its defense here this spring. And for Georgia fans getting ready to play the Tigers in Athens in November, that defense is certainly something to pay attention to, much along the same lines for Texas A&M, who is really starting to generate a decent amount of preseason buzz. Mike Elko, the brand-new defensive coordinator there, coming up from Notre Dame, getting credit 7 sacks. The Aggies do record in the spring game. So a couple defense in the SEC West getting some love. And then another team just sneaking into the ESPN way too early top 25 is South Carolina. And for the Gamecocks here, it's more about that new-look offense led by Brian McClendon, who obviously Georgia fans know well, and Dan Warner, who comes over from Ole Miss. This is a South Carolina offense that's going to try to play more up-tempo. And apparently a lot of folks, including some writers from ESPN like Alex Scarborough, thinking this South Carolina offense has a chance to be pretty good. So the Gamecocks offense getting a little praise there. Those all part of those major spring takeaways for SEC teams ranked the top 25, and we'll make that your SEC through. And now we will continue what we've kind of been doing here over the last few days on Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza. As I said off the top of the show, that you know this is a time of year we can kind of, I don't know, stretch your legs a little bit and kind of loosen up. We don't have quite as many huge pressing issues to deal with on a daily basis. We can sort of have some fun with some stuff. And, you know, I did have some fun with Georgia baseball over the weekend. Admittedly, I do watch more baseball than softball, although I am looking forward to seeing the Dogs here host their NCAA regional coming up. But I've kind of gotten to this Georgia baseball team a little bit this spring. Probably a little bit of a bandwagon fan, I guess, but I'm sure they're glad to have me no matter how I've gotten there. And as Dave Johnson said on our program on Thursday, that even getting one game from Florida would potentially be a pretty big get for Georgia, because he looked at sort of 6 SEC games to close out the season. The 3 at Florida, the 3 coming up at home against a pretty good Arkansas team, a very good Arkansas team. He said if Georgia could go 3-3 in those 6, then maybe the Georgia baseball team, the Diamond Dogs, could also be hosting an NCAA regional, which is something we haven't seen since we've been doing Dog Nation Daily here. So it'd be kind of exciting to bring this to a pass. And so it kind of got me thinking for our Dog Day Q&A question for today. Do you follow other Georgia sports besides football? How many of you are paying attention to what's going on right here? And by the way, there's no right or wrong answer. Some of you are all football all the time, and that's why we've designed Dog Nation Daily the way we have, so we can satisfy those of you who want as much football as you can get. But for others of you, I'm kind of curious to hear your opinion on this. You can kind of weigh in on that in the comment section. I will jump in here and see what other people are saying. James Baldwin says he does follow UGA baseball. So, James, no doubt you're enjoying the renaissance for this team here this season. Santiago Diarn also says, I'm following the Atlanta Braves right now, which is great. I mean, I will tell you that the Atlanta Braves have been a pretty fun team to watch so far this year. There's no doubt about that. And I also thought it was kind of cool the other day for our Dog Day Q&A when we talked about, you know, ways that you sort of pass the time in the summer waiting for fall to get here. Many of you mentioned Braves baseball as being one of the things that you do for that. And I know I'm very much the same way, that I love, you know, baseball in the spring and summer, especially warm weather like we've had this past weekend. That's a great way to enjoy all of that. David Hemansky says, I follow UGA hoops too, if the team is doing well. And obviously Tom Crean is hopeful to get a lot more folks on the Georgia basketball bandwagon. And I'm sure he'd love to have a lot more fans. It seems like, you know, he's doing his part to be the kind of coach that's good at outreach, that's good at bringing in fans. And it seems like that he's going to be a good personality. And Georgia basketball needs a good personality. Dapper Dan says, there are no sports other than UGA football, only games. And I like that line from Dan. And that's obviously a sentiment that's expressed by a lot of Georgia fans. It's one of the reasons why, even in the midst of other times of year, we are 99% football on this show, because obviously football is not only the sport that pays the bills for everything athletically in Athens, it's also the sport that the overwhelming majority of fans care about. John Pendergrass also on YouTube saying, for me, it is just a football. Brian Kephart, though, says, to me, I've got to support all the sports as a university, not as closely as I do football. That being said, no rules with fandom. When I say go Dogs, I think about all sports, not just football. And that's kind of a nice sentiment to think about, that go Dogs means more than just supporting the football team. I will say that whether you're a huge baseball fan or not, when the Georgia baseball team gets into postseason, it is just fun. It's one of those things where I don't know that you have to be a hardcore baseball fan. You know, college baseball is a good bit different than like Major League Baseball, and for some people, it's sort of hard to follow with the differences. But the crowds make a lot of noise. There's almost like a college football vibe in the stadium for these postseason baseball games. It can be a lot of fun. And so I'm hopeful that we see a nice run from the Diamond Dogs coming up later on this spring. And we appreciate you weighing in on our Dog Day Q&A for today. And as we get ready to wrap things up here today, I'll also remind you that, speaking of the Gators, who Georgia went to Gainesville and, well, you give them credit, they did take two of three this weekend. Georgia will get its revenge, though, in football. 166 days from right now. That's our Gator Hitter Countdown here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. We look forward to doing it every day, and our buddy Eddie loves it when we do. I'll also say this. I was looking at SEC Country over the weekend, and some quotes that Jaden Hazelwood, the five-star receiver, UGA commit for the class of 2019, that he gave to a Jeff Sintel last week are getting some attention from some Auburn fans. Obviously, Hazelwood's one of those guys that said he's taken some visits, and he had some somewhat nice things to say about Auburn. You know, coming on the heels of the Owen Papo commitment, this obviously got some Auburn fans kind of fired up there. Still don't think Georgia fans have anything to worry about here. I think Hazelwood's going to be all Dog by the time it's all said and done, but is he going to flirt a little bit? Yeah, maybe. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Dog Nation Daily.